So this year we're talking about impact, being a people of impact. 2019, the word impact being our word, our catchphrase for the year. Impact. So Father, I thank you for what you are showing, what you are speaking to us about, what you are revealing to us. Lord, we thank you, Father, for everything that, what it means to be people of impact, Lord. So things I have to say this morning, Lord, I ask that those that be of you, Lord, that you would breathe upon them and anoint them, Father, that which is just my own imaginations, Lord, just let those go by the by. But Father, impact our lives in all ways. Cause us to have ears that would hear and hearts that would receive what you are saying to us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So the word impact has two meanings to it. The one meaning is the action of one object hitting another object, those two forces coming together, clashing, contacting with one another. The other idea of impact is making a mark, having a marked influence or an effect on something. We have impact by the way we influence, by the way we affect. And the fact of the matter is that we all affect people around us. We affect those we live with. We affect those we work with. We affect those we associate with. So that's why we need to ensure that we are people that are bringing the right impact and the right sort of influence. Even those we meet in passing, even those we're in a shop or wherever we are, we bring impact. We influence people's lives. We all directly affect everyone we come into contact with, which stands true for us, not just as individuals, but for us as a whole body of people. So I want to reflect a little bit of, and just recap a little bit of what I said last week, and cause us just to think again of this whole idea of impact. Knowing that, knowing this whole idea, and facing up with the reality that we all impact, we all bring influence into people's lives, we need to decide what sort of impact that we as individuals and we as a group of people are going to make. Do we just want to be another face they see or another voice they hear or another hand they shake? Someone they may not want to be around, or do they want to see his impact in our lives? We have to decide. We can make that decision for ourselves. So let's ensure that we are a healthy, positive, godly impact and influence on people's lives around us. I asked this question last week, a question that I've pondered for years. If LVC as a body of believers, or as we as individuals, were no longer here in Waltham Abbey, would we be missed? Or would you as an individual, as a Christian believer, if you were no longer here, would you be missed? Your impact, your influence, what you do. Would we as a group of people, if suddenly, for whatever reason, there was no such thing as Lee Valley Church, there were none of us gathering together in the name of God, would we be missed? Great. I think it's an important question to ask ourselves. See, a watching world needs to taste and see that he is good. They need to see that he is good because he is good. People need our preserving influence. They need to see the light of Christ shine through us. You know what? We may well be the only Bible. We as an individual may be the only Bible that people may ever read in their lives. May be the only Christian, true Christian believer they may ever experience, talk to, shake hands with, have a close-up sort of a relationship with. We may be the only ones. So let's not play around. This is not a game. You know what? If you're pretending, either stop pretending and get serious about this, or check out now and wait for eternity to deal with the consequences of it all. But for goodness sake, do it properly. No more pretending. And Jesus paints a great illustration of this whole idea of bringing impact, of making a difference. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, and deliberately reading out of the Amplified Version, it says this: "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, its purpose, how can it be made salty?" Anybody never read the Amplified Version? Never read it? Worthwhile. If you've got a smartphone, download, if you've download an app that has carries whole lots of the Bibles, or if you've got tablet, iPad or whatever, the Amplified version and places when it goes through, what it does, it takes the number of meanings. There are various meanings of different words that come up in the, both in the Hebrew and the Greek out of our translations of Old Testament. Originally was translated from Hebrew, New Testament from the Greek. And there are words that we do not, that we have in our English, one word does not adequately define or explain varied words. So the Amplified just pops in other words that in brackets that actually pertain to that particular word. And so they expand the meaning of it a little bit more. And so it's just good. It's a little bit more to read, but it's brilliant. So anyway, it's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and walked on by people when the walkways are wet and slippery. And then it says this, you are the light of the light of Christ to the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand and gives it light to those who are around or in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good deeds and moral excellence and recognize and honor and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So last week we looked at being the light. Being salt. And salt adds flavor. It preserves. It causes thirst. It cleans. In the Roman times, we read of soldiers who were paid a handful of salt daily as their payment, their salary. We get the word salary from this whole idea. Salt back in those days had real value to it. It was a valuable commodity to have. We get the idea of being worth one's salt. It's an old saying, and those of us who are maybe a little bit older than the younger ones, Simon says he doesn't know, but I know how old he is, he would have heard it. And then we took the whole thing of there is pure salt, sodium chloride. Pure salt can never lose its saltiness. Talking about those who continue to follow Christ, truly follow Christ, will always be salty. So it just touches a little bit on last week talking about salt. This week I want to talk about verses 14 to 16 that says this, you are the light of Christ to the world. You are the light of Christ to the world. Stand in front of a mirror and go, you are salt and you are light. That's who you are. That's what Jesus is saying to us. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. We'll touch on these in a little while. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So he begins in this little discourse here. He talks first of all about the world. You are the light of the world. He moves on to a city on a hill. And then he concludes with idea of this smaller thing of being a room in a house. He starts large and ends up with something smaller. This part of his illustration starts by him saying that we as his followers are the light of the world. He doesn't say one day you will become if you do. He says you are. Did you hear what I said? He says, I just said, didn't I? You are light of the world. Not one day, perhaps, maybe, if you get your act together, you are the light of the world. End of story. Resolve it in your heart and in your mind. You are the light of the world. I am the light of the world. In times past, sadly, too much of society does not consider that the followers of Jesus really are the light of anything worthwhile. Isn't that? And that's a real shame. In times past, there were corners of the academic world that said that Christians caused the so-called Dark Ages. But contrary to this whole idea, the followers of Christ are in fact the light of the world. There is no way Christians could have been responsible for the Dark Ages, because we are the light of the world. Jesus expands his illustration to include light from a city that sits on a hill. Now, during the time of Christ, there was a city at the northwestern part, northwest of Galilee. So here we go. Let's put this a bit more into picture. So Jesus is he's preaching the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. So he's already at the northern part of the Sea of Galilee. He refers to a city that is in that region a little bit further north of it. This city is the highest city in all of Israel. It's at the highest point. There is no other city that is at a higher point than this city. The city was called Safed, S-A-F-E-D. And in the city, it's still there today and it is thriving. It's a thriving city in the northern part, very northern part of Israel. Lights of the town on a clear night can be seen from miles away. The Talmud, the Jewish writings, the interpretations of the law, the historical writings, they talk about the fact that the city was a signal station originally to announce the arrival of a new moon, and as such was regarded as one of the four sacred cities in Israel. Hence, the gathered crowd would have known of the city. They are in that region. Jesus said, what does he say? A light on a hill, a city on a hill. The city was seen. It was obvious. People knew the city was there. The gathered crowd would have understood Jesus' illustration because they were familiar with this famous example and that not very far away city. They knew what he was talking about. It wasn't just a random thing he used. He was in the location. It would be like me talking about the turbulence of life and talking about the example with the White Water Center, using that as an example. Well, this is a similar thing to Christ using the example of the city there. Jesus' point is quite simple. A city built on a high hill cannot be hidden at night when the lights are glowing. Another part of his illustration, he goes on to talk about a lamp that is burning at night. Now we don't have to really know too much historically to recognize the fact that there wasn't electricity then. There was no electricity in Jesus' time. They were relied upon the lamps and candles providing them with light. The only way to be able to see at night was by a candle or an oil burning lamp. No one lights a lamp and covers up the light. You don't light a lamp. You don't turn the lights on in your house and then cover them over so you can't see anything. You turn the lights on so you can see. Speaks for itself. That's Jesus' point. You need the light. Arlo Guthrie says this, you can't have a light without a dark to stick it in. George Garland said this, why is it called after dark when it's really after light? Don't we say that a weird saying, isn't it? Well, after dark, well, it is dark. How can it be after dark? It is dark. It's after the light, isn't it? James Thurber said this, there are two kinds of light, the light, the glow that illuminates and the glare that obscures. Edith Wharton said this, there are two ways of spreading the light, to be a candle or the mirror that reflects it. Which one are we going to be? Luke chapter 8 and verse 16. No one lights a lamp and then covers it with a container to hide it or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. We can't hide away. It could easily be said that Jesus just was simply saying these words, show yourself. Show yourself. Don't cover yourself up. Don't be hidden away. The illustration starts with the world, then he moves to the idea of a glowing city at night on a hill, and then finally this idea of a lamp in the home. Notice what he did not say there. He did not say that we, as his followers, were to be the light in the house. Didn't say that, did he? Have a read of it. He doesn't actually say that. Or that we are the light of a city. No, he says, we are the light of the world. We are the light of the entire world. As Christian believers, we are the light of the world. We are the light that comes into the world. So Jesus concludes this illustration with a command. In verse 16 of chapter 5 of Matthew, he says this, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good deeds and moral excellence and recognize and honor it and honor and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So go and shine. We need to go and shine. Jesus is not asking us to play the part of a Christian secret agent. We do not live in a nation where we need to be Christians' secret agents. We are not spiritual secret agent 007. We are not a spiritual James Bond. We are out in the open. The Greek word that Jesus uses here, in that description, let your light shine before men. The Greek word that is written, interpreted here, as before is a word that has the meaning of being in front of. So he says before, it means literally being in front of. That's a literal translation of this Greek word. That is, the lives of the followers of Jesus Christ are supposed to be on display in front of everyone. It's a challenge, isn't it? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5, referring to the followers of Christ. You are all sons of light and sons of day. We do not belong to the night nor the darkness. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. For once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Live as those who have native born to the light. Children of light. Live as those native born to the light. We are the light and the light of the world because Christ, God, lives in us. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 says this. This is the message of God's promised revelation, which we have heard from him and now announce to you, that God is light, he is holy, his message is truthful, he is perfect in righteousness, and in him there is no darkness at all, no sin, no wickedness, no imperfections. So how are we supposed to shine? How are we, as the followers of Jesus Christ, supposed to shine? I think we'll look at it in a little while and maybe throw some ideas around. But how about just what Scripture says? Maybe we can find the answer in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Actually, if you've got a Bible with you, or you've got your phone, flick it open and have a look at the Scripture, or make a note to look at the Scripture. I've already mentioned verse 8 of this, but let me read those three verses, 8, 9, and 10. It says this, for once you were darkness, i.e. we weren't believers, yeah, all of us. We weren't born a believer. We've come into this family of faith, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, live as those who are native born to the light. Now listen to verse 9. For the fruit, i.e. the effect, the result of the light, consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So the fruit of being in the light consists of all goodness, righteousness and truth. Trying to learn by experience what is pleasing to the Lord and letting your lifestyles be examples of what is most acceptable to Him, your behavior expressing gratitude to God for your salvation. So here we go. Here is some fruit that is clearly obvious about having the light of Christ on the inside of us. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. That's what it's just been laid out in front of us by the Scriptures. So therefore, when I think about it, we as followers of Christ are supposed to show these virtues. Really, I think that is not rocket science, is it? So how is your light shining? There's an old tale, a story of a keeper of a lighthouse at Calais who was boasting of the brightness of his lantern. So this was in the old days when they actually had to tend the lantern that produced the light. And I don't know how the science that they used back in those days to actually throw the light so far. He skited that his lighthouse lamp could be seen 10 leagues out the sea. A league is about 3.4 miles, around about 34 miles out the sea. His light could be seen. So a visitor came one day and says to him, what if one of the lights would go out? And he replied, never, it's impossible. He cried, horrified at the very thought that The light that he was supposed to look after would ever go out. Sarah said, pointing to the ocean, "Yonder, where nothing can be seen, there are ships going by to all parts of the world. If tonight one of my burners went out, within 6 months would come a letter, perhaps from India, perhaps from America, perhaps from some place I never heard, saying on such a night, at such an hour, the light of Calais burned dim. The watchman neglected his post and vessels were in danger. Ah, sir, sometimes in dark nights and stormy weather, I look out the sea and feel as if the eyes of the whole world were looking at my light. Go out, burn dim, never." Isn't that cool? You know what? Light changes the very nature of darkness. Changes the very nature of darkness. A little light can be seen. You know what personally ticks me off? Where is one of those little lights? These little electric lights here. In the light, ticks me off. Sinead, it really ticks me off. That's turned on, believe it or not. We're in the light, and you really can't see it very well, can you? When you turn all the lights off in here, at night time, with these curtains closed, it is pitch black in here. And you can see these little lights still going. When we were living here, when we were just about to go to bed, and there is a little light going. I tell you what, a little light changes the nature of darkness. Your light, you as an individual, changes the very nature of darkness around us. We are supposed to be that light for others to see. But we all know that sometimes it can be difficult to do so, we think. Sometimes we are not feeling it. We are afraid or unsure of what really am I saying, am I doing, really does it hit the mark? We can talk all day long to a stranger or a friend or a relative about the weather, about the news, about the local gossip, about football if you're a bloke. I don't know what you ladies talk about, but what the men talk about, that's what we do. But when it comes to talking about the things of God to strangers who aren't believers, we can have a bit more of a difficult time. Is this fading in and out, Phil? You know what? You're not alone. You're not alone in that. You're not alone in this. This morning, I want us all to look into our lives, our hearts. I want us all to ask ourselves one question first of all, in regard to being salt. Have I lost my spice? Has I lost my flavor? Has my flavor of being a believer dimmed off a little bit? Maybe our light has been weathered through some storms of life. Sometimes we as Christians can lose our zeal. We still love God and all he has done for us, but the spark is not as intense as it once was. Maybe we have not kept it fueled up with the word of God. It could be many things, but it still needs some rekindling. God's love for us has not wavered and neither has it weakened. His love is eternal and has no boundaries at all. So is our passion for him still on fire? Are we still blazing like a 1,000-watt bulb, or have we dropped off to be a 10-watt bulb, one of those new modern ones that take forever to get bright? You know what? I know it's easy to lose track of what we need to do, but the grace of God and the power of the Spirit calls us to get back on track, to reignite the passion. You know, and as an individual Christian and as a community, we need to take that light on us, in us, to the world around us. His light must never be hidden, or it ceases to shine. His salt must be kept salty, or it ceases to preserve. Let us all be people of impact. But before we finish, I just want us to do something. If we truly believe that we are people, we are light of the world, There is a spare sheet I found out this morning. Mental note, get some more of these. You've got the pen, have you? There was a marker pen. All right, who's got it? Tim hid it. So if we recognize and agree with the idea, if Jesus said so, that we are the light, that you are the light, how can we be those who allow our light to shine more and more? How can we? What are some practical things that you and I can do that enables our light to shine as it's supposed to shine?
Love our neighbor.
Does somebody else want to write this? Do you want to come and write it, Sinead? Pray for people. Sure, I don't mind if anybody writes. It's got to be better than that, doesn't it? What else? Show compassion. I think we got that up there. Love and action, we got it up there. Testify. Talk about why we are believers. Why do we believe? Stand up for what's right. You know, when we testify, we don't have to be a theological professor. All we have to do is talk about what it means to me, what it means to us as an individual. Why am I a Christian for? People cannot argue with your testimony.
Live the truth.
Live the truth. Give not to receive. Is the writing any better up there or not? Oh, that's rubbish. Sorry? No compromise. Somebody else said something? Show faith. Show grace. So what did you say, John? Lead by example. Be unashamed. Okay, Haley can't write this quick. Hey, your writing is easier to read than mine. That's true. So these are just a few examples of how we can deliberately ensure that we allow our light to shine. The fact of the matter is, it's not a promise by God. Christ hasn't made a promise, he's made a statement. A promise would be, well, if you do this and do that. He said, you are salt. You are the light of the world. Remind yourself. Let's remember. Salt and light brings real impact. It's a thing of influence that changes the very lives and hearts of people around us. Each one of us was influenced by somebody. Each one of us has been affected by somebody. We need to be a people that affect, influence, and bring impact to the world around us. Amen? Amen. God bless.